Well, all right. Good morning, everybody. How are y'all this morning? Everybody good? Anybody notice anything different today? Anybody? Y'all notice the blood bust? That's not every Sunday. That's different, right? Everybody say it. Just one time. Blood bust. Blood bust. You gotta say it like it's a horror flick, but that's kind of sad for them. But don't make it a horror flick. Go visit them. I did get a message late last night from the director of the region for Carter. If you're not able to give today, please consider they are low on all 8 blood types, is what she told me. And I think what Rex said is perfect, as in a sense of a great way to take care of the community and a great way for us to live out what we're talking about today, serving one another. So that is one thing that's different. Anybody else notice anything different today? Anything else? The rain. It was not raining. Yeah, that's something a little, well, it's sprinkling, I think, actually, out there. And so, yeah, I know. Maybe we ought to pray for, no, we should never pray for no rain, all right? A couple of weeks ago, if you didn't know it, I was in Kenya. And in southern Kenya, it's their dry season. They haven't had rain since April. And so if you can imagine, it's just a little dusty, just a little. So I was reminded, never pray for the rain to stop. At the same time, we know that we have some folks in neighboring state that are really struggling right now. And a few people have already asked me about, if there's something that we need to be a part of to respond. And we're kind of gathering intel on that. So you might keep your ears open for opportunities for us to help serve some folks that are going through some massive loss. Okay. So anyway, anybody else notice anything different? Pretty in purple. Thank you. This is called, you can say this with me too, a shuka. 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 Yeah, I didn't know that name either. What are you laughing at? No, it's you too, right there. Okay, sure. No, it's called a shuka, and I didn't know that either until the chief of one of the villages that we went to gave it to me. Actually, the reason I'm wearing it is I wanted to be like Griff and wear purple, and I guess it was the color of the day. This is to remind you to sign up for community groups and to be a living tambourine. But anyway. So yeah, that's a little different. Actually, there's something else different about this morning, and 3 people noticed. Okay, now let me rephrase. 3 people said something to me about it. 3 people had the guts to actually say, "What's going on?" And you 3 that you know who you are. I give you credit. Rick Mull was the first one to say something. And that I haven't shaved all week. Now, for y'all that are new, you're like going, who cares, okay? I know what you're thinking. For y'all that have been around here, you're probably still saying, who cares? Well, it's very different for me, mostly because even going, this is a whole week, okay? So I'm okay with you laughing at me with that. I really am. My defense to that is my Cherokee blood has, fended off massive facial hair. And it does look like I have mange. I completely agree. I've seen some of you not say something and go, oh, yeah, Brian has shaved or something like that. So, yeah, this is a whole week. And it took probably 4 days for Christy and the girls to even say something to me, if that says anything. And so, yeah, it's something different. It's interesting when you notice something different, like a purple shuka with little tambourine things on it, or, a change of the weather, or an opportunity like the blood bus, or silly things like facial hair. It's easy to see the physical differences. It's easy to notice that. You know, if somebody goes to work and is working real hard and they've gone on, a healthy direction of life, and maybe they lose weight or maybe something a little more surface than that, they change their hair color and you go, oh, I love your new hairdo. It's easy to see the physical changes, the physical differences. I noticed some of the kids of Life Point this morning, all of a sudden just seems like some of them have grown a foot. you know, over the summer, you're like, whoa, you're as tall as your mom all of a sudden, you know? And it's weird that you see those physical differences. It's a regular thing of life. And at the same time, I would say that there are some other things that we need to, and here's our phrase kind of today that I want to stick in your head and hopefully in your heart, is we need to take notice. We need to take notice of something that might be causing us to pause. And not just a, oh, wow, that's different. Oh, wow, they sound different. Oh, wow, there's a problem. There's a struggle. There's a need. Instead of just saying, man, that's too bad, or oh, wow, look at that, or did you hear that, or did you hear what was going on in somebody's life, or whatever it might be, that it's actually causing you to consider action on your part. We have a significant problem in the world that you and I live in. We're addicted to words, okay? Now, I'm not saying words are the problem. I'm saying we're addicted to those words. It's kind of like that scripture in the Bible that talks about money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says, is it? The money is not the problem. The love of it, it being the thing in life that defines our life, that's the problem. This is the same concept. It's not so much that the many words, the many tweets, the many posts, the blogs, the philosophy of, you know, that we all give out on Facebook or the Starbucks conversations. And it's not so much that all the words are the problem. It's that we're so sucked into the words that action often doesn't happen. And so I think you and I have been kind of molded and made into to think, first of all, to hear, to take notice of words, to see what's going on, hear what's going on, and here's the problem, and do almost nothing. Not act upon it. And so I'm curious about if you notice something else today. As you come in, did you notice any specific needs this morning? Just ponder for that for just a second. Was your radar past just what was on the food bar? Past, even though it was really great. Thank you, community groups, for doing such a great job with that. And the one this morning, man, awesome stuff. Sweet potato pie stuff was really good. Suzanne Sharp. Anyway, there you are. Amongst other things, we're so good. And we have one more Sunday, by the way, of community groups offering brunch. That's next Sunday. So show up early, eat often, okay? So it'll be good. But did you take notice more of beyond the food, the coffee, the who was in the room, who wasn't in the room, purple jingly shirts, fuzz on face? Did you notice any needs this morning? Did you ponder or pause long enough to hear somebody say, here's what's going on in somebody's life, here's a struggle, here's a need? And I think part of the problem with that is that we do honor, even at LifePoint, honor the need for conversation. I was telling one of our new Laterno students this morning that we have dedicated ourselves for the history of LifePoint and for the future to the necessity and the need for ongoing conversation. Here in a minute, in the middle of the sermon, we're going to pause and let you talk about something that I'm going to give you a question about. But even that, I mean, we take out 30, 45 minutes every Sunday morning, and we're going to continue some of that during the fall, and the fall schedule will be announced next week. But I'm telling you, we've committed ourselves to that. But if you read all of Acts chapter 2, as I was talking to this the new Laterno student about this morning, is that Acts 2 isn't just about conversation, it's about conversation to action. Because by the time you get to Acts chapter 4, the Church of Jesus Christ, they are known for action. I wonder sometimes if one of the problems with people in communities like ours or in countries like ours is that when they see church, they see it as a place of words, not a place of action. I'll tell you, after being in Kenya, and this is my, I think, my seventh time to be in Kenya, words don't go very far. The necessity for action is right in front of you. If you do that thing that Scripture kind of scoffs at, where you just say, hey, go and be well fed and pray, I'll pray for you and send them on, without actually going into action to help them, they pretty much know who you are. You're a person of words. And I wonder, for us, not just on a corporate level, today we're going to get on a very personal, individual level. Are you a person of words, or are you a person of action? Again, I'm not saying the word, as Monty talked about a couple of weeks ago, is not important. It's absolutely vital for us to know God's word and how that word intersects with our lives and changes our words and how we talk about life and ourselves and one another. It ought to change. It ought to shift. The salvation story that we've had, that we have, if you have a relationship with Christ, it should not just change your story. It should change how you live out your life. So I realized something this week is to really to take notice of one another's needs or somebody else's needs. You got to retrain your brain. You really do. I mean, again, there is constant words in our world, if you haven't noticed. Constant. And in the midst of those words, we hear needs, we see needs, sometimes we even feel the needs. But for us to go into a action mode, there's going to have to be some retraining of our brain. It's not natural for us to really take notice of individual needs in people's lives. It's not natural. It's natural for us to hear massive needs and not think primarily individually about what I'm supposed to do about it. Taking notice is more than just going, oh yeah, that's going on in somebody's life. Taking notice is hearing, seeing, feeling real needs and going, oh, that was for me. That was for me to do something about it. And I think for us to be the kind of people that take notice, we got to retrain our brain. Anybody busy? Anybody? Don't lie. Anybody say there's too much to get done today, this week, this month, this year, constantly? I think that's part of the retraining of the brain. It's almost like we can't meet each other's needs. We can't serve one another well because we are so busy. We're busy all the time. We're almost too busy. We fill our schedule so much up that we really don't have the ability to pause long enough to go, I can meet that need. There's a tug of war going on. And here's the tug of war. I got work to do. I got school to do. I got homework to do. I got practice to go to. I got this to read. I got this to, there's all this stuff that we've got to do that when a need comes our way, if we do notice it, oftentimes we're like, man, I hope somebody else comes along and meets that need. You know what some of you do? I've done this before. So before I throw you under the bus, just not the blood bus, but the bus. That's a bad thing to go under. But anyway, you call me. Hey, this person has a need. Or you call somebody like me. Or you send them to a pro, whatever that pro is. Instead of saying, I'm wondering if God is making me aware of this need, I'm taking notice of it in such a way that it's my role, my opportunity to serve them. One of the toughest scriptures that confronts us, and it's one we worked on last week a little bit, is out of 1 John 3:3, starting with verse 16. This is how we know what love is. So if you're trying to discern what love is, if you're trying to figure out what love looks like, hey, all y'all that are in love, okay? To whatever degree you're in love, let's talk for just a second. The person that you believe loves you, are they more than words? Are they action? Do they do things to prove love? Or is there just an assumption? No. It's more than words. At least it better be, right? Absolutely. What's different than this is that God, specifically Jesus, went into action. He laid down his life for us. This was not just a God of words saying, boy, I hope they figure it out. They know the Ten Commandments. They know the 600 plus Jewish laws. If they don't get it, you know, it was more than that. Jesus himself said, I'll go prove to them what love is. I'll go show them personally. I'll go into action so much that I won't just go and teach good lessons, preach good sermons, do cool miracles. I'll do more than that. I'll lay down my life. That's what he says. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. He laid down his life for us. The extreme action. And I think we have a problem with this second part. We don't know what it looks like to lay down our lives for our brothers, our sisters, our friends, our neighbors. What does it look like for us to do that? Hold that thought. If anyone has material possessions, sees his brother in need. He gives us a detailed example. Has no pity on him. How can the love of the love of God be in him? Now, this phrase, have pity on him, is not just a, oh, how's that? It's more than that. It's not just what we say or even what we pray, but it's how what we say and what we pray goes into action through us. Evaluate again. Are you a person of words? Or are you a person of action? We'll come back to that. Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with action and in truth. And so as we ponder how that is lived out in us, that it's not just about what we see or not just about having a comment of words or a post or a tweet or whatever it might be, we've got to realize that in the midst of living in a day, in an age, in a culture filled with words, filled with posts, tweets, blogs, like we talked about earlier, it's almost like the constant words so overwhelm us, we don't know where to act. Anybody else feel that way? I mean, 24-hour news, 24-hour sports, 24-hour access to the internet, 24 hours of notifications on our phone, 24 hours of communication all the time. If there's a tragic event in the world, if you're not seeing it live, you're seeing it within seconds, if not minutes. I mean, we now have apps and websites where as soon as something's going on, somebody can just whip out their phone and post it live going on. We know that to be true. And in the midst of that, there's so much need. There's so much news. There's so many people saying, here's what's going on in my life. We're inundated with so many words that we don't pause to go, hey, Lord, what do you want me to take notice of? And what do you want me to do to live out my salvation? Because, there's just no way that we're just saved to be saved so we can have a story. If we are saved by Jesus, we must consider we're also saved to be like Jesus. Now, as we think about that, in Luke 22, Jesus was talking to the disciples. We covered this last week as well. It says, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they're called friends of the people. They're known to be like these popular people, these famous people, and they're even kind to the poor. But it says that in this world, the kings and great men lord it over. It's like, oh, there's such and such. I wonder if they'll just allow me to touch them or be around them, or can I get one of their coins? It says, among you, it's got to be different. Even if people are calling those kinds of people friends to the people, what do they call us? This is not just about doing good deeds. This is not just about seeing someone that's poor and sharing a little bit. We've got to be so different that it says the greatest among you should take the lowest rank and the leader should be like a servant. What we now see as leaders is people that can talk louder, talk better, write more books, give more words, instead of really honoring the scope and the approach of Jesus, which is one who serves. He even says, this is normal thought, normal human thought. Who's more important, the one who sits at a table or the one who serves? Well, Jesus says this is obvious. The one who sits at the table is more important. The servant is taking a lower position most of the time because why? Why? They have to, right? Maybe they're paid to be a servant. Maybe that's their lot in life. But he says the one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. Explanation point. I think that explanation point means it's like, let me get your attention. I'm trying to say something here. Not here. We don't work that way. We work on a different set of values, a different understanding. If you're going to be this Jesus follower guy or lady, if you're going to claim that Scripture matters, if you're going to claim that the Word of God is truth, if you're going to claim that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us and gave His life and laid His life down for us, if you're going to claim that one day you're going to be in heaven forever with Him, if you're going to claim all that, if you're going to use all that many words, check out the rest. Not here, because Jesus Himself says, I am among you. So I didn't just come and teach you, preach you, throw words at you, tweet at you, post at you. I am here among you as one who serves. I mean, listen to Jesus. Don't worry about my purple shiny shirt. Don't worry about my, you know, weird looking face today. No offense to the food and the coffee and out of the rain and air conditioning and lights and screens. Let's be real today about who the person of Jesus really is and how that should impact each and every one of our lives every single day. Not just on Sunday hanging out, listening to some songs and a sermon. How does this impact you tomorrow morning when you go to school? How does this impact you when you're doing the job you don't want to do? How does this change how you do family, parents? How does this change how you parent your children? What's this mean about your neighbors? Do you really care about them? Or do we just say we do? It's a great verse. Love your neighbors as yourself. Good words. Are they more than just print or post or tweets or posters? John 3:16 is a great verse, right? Until we actually understand what it means for us individually and our neighbors, does it really even matter? Again, just trying to make sure we understand this. If we are saved by Jesus, we must consider that we're also saved to be like Jesus, a servant. Would you call yourself a servant? Would somebody else call you a servant? Again, I'm tough on us parents. You know that. I do this quite a bit. Would your children see you as a servant of others? Grandparents, same thing. Do your neighbors know you that? Your coworkers, your students, your fellow employees. By the way, real quick, let's pause here for a second. What does a servant look like in today's world? What's it look like? Take out all the paid servants. The ones that wait tables, I'm not saying they're not servants. I'm just saying they're obviously doing a job and getting paid for it. And you know the difference between a good servant and a bad servant in a restaurant, right? Instantly, you're all grinning like, oh, yeah, I've experienced that lately. Sure we do. I have a friend that oftentimes, and he knows who he is, so I won't name him by name, but I have a friend oftentimes that when he can tell that the waiter or waitress doesn't like their job, he'll ask him, do you like your job? And then there's awkwardness and I want to go to the bathroom. But anyway, it's a legitimate question. If we're not just talking about people that serve our tables or mow our yards or clean up our houses or coach our kids or whatever. But what does a servant really look like in today's world? Maybe this will help us. Maybe we have another way of looking at this. Who do you know that's a great servant? So I want to actually pause for long enough for you to talk to people around you. I want you to consider what a real servant might look like today and who a great servant would be, okay? I'm stalling long enough for you to think of a name. to think of why you would see that person as a great servant, because that's what I want you to do. I want you to turn somebody. If you're new at LifePoint, we do this, so it's okay. You can talk in here. No lightning bolts today, all right? At least inside. But I want you to turn somebody and go, hey, I know a person that's a great servant. Name them, if you can, by name. And then secondly, tell why you think they're a great servant. All right, ready, set, go. Chat amongst yourselves. I don't know who all you're listening. There's definitely some people that God put on my heart and thoughts about people that, here's some of the description that I would say, go out of their way, sacrifice their personal time, give of themselves but don't talk about it, share but doesn't post about it. And most of it, most of the ones I can think of are behind the scenes and like it there. That's what makes it interesting about when Jesus brings up leadership is that how he really modeled leadership is that he could have came in as the king on the throne with his scepter and his sword and said, it's time to rock and roll and judge everybody. Instead, he took on a model of caring, sharing. He touched lepers that nobody else would touch. He spent time with the sinners. I know you and I live in a world where Christians like to go to one side. It's like a junior high dance, right? It's like where Christians go on one side and the non-Christians to the other. You know, junior high dance, where the boys go on one side and the girls go on the other. And you know what they do? They point and they talk the whole time, right? Until you get one really gutsy kid that walks across, and that kid's like the hero for life, right? I mean, this is true. It's almost like when the Christians go across the hallway or across the gym to the non-Christians and go, hey, how can I help you? Everybody's like, ooh, did you see that? That's crazy. Some might judge that person. Some might gossip. Some might post or tweet. But it's such an abnormality. And I would say another thing happened. I don't know how long ago. I could talk to some of y'all that might have been around church life a little bit longer than me. But somewhere in the church history, within the last 50 or so years, we created not just mission trips. We created like service projects. Now, I'm not saying they're all wrong or bad, so don't get me wrong. And I just went on a mission trip to Kenya, so obviously I'm not saying they're all wrong. But what I'm saying to you is if that's the only time we as individuals serve other people, we're in big, big trouble. If it's just when we go either to Kenya or we do something because some person at a church or a service organization say, it's time to help a certain group of people. Because if it's just when somebody else calls us to action, or if it's just when it's convenient that we go to action, I wonder what the Lord's doing in each of us. Because it needs to be His words and His Spirit. So I asked this question last week. Who do you serve individually? How are you serving them? This ought to be a constant way of life. It ought to be so real and so true that almost the Spirit of the Lord in you is waking you up saying, it's another day not to live. It's not another day to do. It's not another day to own or belong. It's another day to serve. whether you're at work, I'm not saying you can't do this at work, that you have to take days off. No, at work, at school, amongst your family, amongst your friends. But there absolutely ought to be some time, older generations, that younger generations see us go out of our norm to meet real needs because we have taken notice. 1 John 3 says, remember we read this a while ago, if you have material possessions. So here's what happens in Kenya for y'all that have not been. For y'all that have been, you can grin along. So you go and the first thing is you notice how bad it is. You kind of take a deep breath and a deep swallow, and amongst the smells and the scenes, you have an instant thought, oh my gosh, what can we even do here? It's so depressing at times that you find yourself looking out the window of a bus going down the road with a tear coming out and you're wiping it quickly because you really don't know how to put words into your thoughts and your feelings. Somewhere along the road, you have this thought, and the thought is brutal. And it's, why do I have what I have? Whether you want to classify that as a lot or a little, and they have so little to nothing. And then you meet a few of them. And then you realize that I have some material blessings, possessions, that maybe I could utilize to make a difference in people's lives. That can be true here too. I'm not saying it can't be. But here in a minute, we're going to read a set of scriptures out of Matthew 25 as we wrap up today that I've been privy to having conversations with some folks that know a lot about the world. It's the scripture that labels the least of these. It's a phrase that Jesus uses. And so I went on a journey for quite a while to seek out what is the least of these in this world. There are needs all around us. There's needs in our community. There's needs on your block. There's needs in your house. And you need to take notice. But I was asking the question of, if there is such a group of people or places that are the least of these, where are they at and who are the people? And I got a list of three places with three different groups of people. And since 2001, I've been my heart's been fairly convinced and convicted to find ways to serve that group of people in Kenya. And it's not easy. It's the hardest thing I think I've ever done. Outside of doing family right, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. And so I'll just tell you that as we read this verse, and you can think of the material possessions that we have, I realize some are more wealthy than others, not even in this room. But if you see a brother, by the way, that's an understood title, as just like neighbor is, that could mean anyone. So you see someone in need and you have no pity, no action, no, not just, oh, how sad. But if you don't do that, how can the love of God be in you? Is a brutal question for us to consider today. The idea of not addressing the hungry, the poor, the homeless, and as Jesus himself labeled the least of these, seems to take on a pretty big and heavy focus in Scripture. If you ever get a chance to read the New Testament a little different, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and specifically read as Jesus and the disciples encounter different people, notice who he purposefully goes out of the way to encounter. He goes out of the way to connect with sick and lonely and hurting and judged people. He goes out of the way to do this. Why would he have to go out of the way? Because it's not normal. You're going to have to go out of your way to really connect with people different than you. I would bet 90% of the people that you hang out with are people pretty close to like you and like me. I would bet most of the people you meet on a regular basis are people close to like you, similar socioeconomic, similar ways of life, similar interest. Not always, but most. So as we read this next set of scriptures, we're going to do something really different. And what I mean by that is I'm going to read two sets of verses. And media folks, is Julie up there? I'm going to ask you to go back. Sorry, I didn't tell you this before, but I know you're good. But Matthew, we're going to read the first set of scripture. Then we're going to read a second. I'm going to ask you to compare. I'm going to ask you to see if you can notice the difference. You'll understand. Matthew 25, verse 35. Let's read this one together. Then we'll read the next one together. Then we'll go back and read them again on your own. And I want you to turn to the same person and see if you can figure out what the difference in the verses are. Matthew 25, verse 35. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes, you clothed me. I was sick, you looked after me. I was in prison, you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him. As Jesus is saying this about judgment day, of the difference between the left and the right. Left being the goats, rights being the sheep. Sheep being the ones that get to go into his presence forever, aka heaven. And he's saying this to the people on each side. And he says, the righteous, aka the sheep, will answer him. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger, invite you in, needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? And the king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did to me. Now, think about that one more time. I'm going to let you read it again, but we're going to go to the next set of verses, verse 42. Here he is. We find Jesus repeating himself. I was hungry, you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. And they will also answer the Lord. Answer and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you? And he will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me. He'll go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Okay, we're going to go back real quick. And I want you to read this one on your own. And we'll pause for a second and read the next one on your own. I want you to turn to somebody and say, here's the difference in the two scriptures. It might be harder than you think. Just saying. Read this. Okay, everybody good? Go to the next one. Compare the two after you read this. Okay, as you finish reading and thinking about it, turn to somebody and say, here's what I think the difference in the scriptures are. Dig a little deep. There's a purple shirt answer, and then there's another answer. You know, I've read this set of scriptures for probably around 30 years now. And it's so easy, or at least I always thought, to know what the differences are. Right? Pretty easy. I mean, you don't need a degree, right? You don't need to understand electrical engineering or rocket science or whatever it might be. You don't need a theological degree. Don't need to be a preacher or teacher to understand what the basic differences are here. But I think there's part of it that we're really missing. At least I would think that it's not just the fuzzy face or the purple shiny shirt stuff. Look at them. Look at the set of verses and think through something that is a little beyond the obvious. I think the biggest difference in the two cannot be read in the words. It can't even be seen in the actions. You understand the actions. This group of people did something. This group of people didn't do something. I understand that. That's obvious. Look between the lines. Look past the actions. Past the words. What's there? Again, don't just stare at the physical stuff. Look deep into the heart of Jesus and maybe even past his to the hearts of his followers. See, it is in the hearts of the persons he's talking to is the difference. And you can't see what's in somebody's heart. We don't need a new set of eyes to see the needy. We need a new heart to know how to respond to the needy. We don't really need to do more good stuff. There's a lot of good stuff, and you probably do a lot of good stuff. We need to do some God stuff. We don't just need to spend some time and money on helping others. We need a servant's heart to be like Jesus, because he himself, and even still today, has a servant's heart. You've got to see the heart here. He took notice. And he's trying to train whether you are a people of the Lord or not. He's trying to tell us that our hearts have to be different. It's not just our eyes. It's not just what we read and what we give to. Our hearts daily has to be different. This is not us dialing up good works and when we feel like it or when it fits into our schedules, serving someone. This is a way of life. And he's saying to both groups, notice what I've done. The setting is the same for both. I take care of, I serve, I see the needy, and I act upon the needy. Whether that's in loneliness or in guilt and shame as someone from prison or as in hungry and naked or someone that just needs a friend. What does a servant look like? One that takes notice and has a heart like Christ and responds to the need out of our heart. Colossians 3. Whatever you do. Isn't this funny? Work at it with all your heart. When was the last time your heart went to work? Well, we know physically the heart is the thing that works the most in our lives. We just can't see it. I think that's a perfect illustration. This is what ought to be at work no matter what our schedules look like, is our heart, as in if it's truly saved and we're walking with Christ, our heart ought to work the most. Our sensitivity to needs, how we respond to those. I can't guilt you or shame you into being a servant. It will not work. Only the presence of Jesus can speak to your heart and make it more sensitive to the needs around you. This is the problem with trying to tell husbands to be more sensitive to their wives, or wives to be more understanding of their husbands, or to tell leaders to be more sensitive of the heart and soul of the people that they are leading. It's not so much about what we see and what we do. It's about how our hearts respond. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. This isn't to be a checklist. It's just like what we do for the Lord. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So as we wrap up today, it's a simple question. It's the same one we asked last week. God, who do you want me to serve to live out my salvation? Would you pray with me? Today we're not singing songs or wrapping up with any kind of invitation. I just simply want us to be an Acts 2 kind of people, to where we're asking the Lord to speak to our hearts, open our eyes, our ears, our minds by the sensitivity of the heart that Jesus has given us. If my heart has been changed, Lord, to hear your word and to know the truth, and for that truth to not just set us free, but to set us free from the world's expectations, but to meet yours. Lord, may we not just have stories to tell of what happened either last year or 20 years ago or 50 years ago about our salvation, but may those salvation stories impact every day of our lives because our hearts have been changed. So very quickly, my friends, it is your heart that sells you out, not your behaviors. We have a heart of servanthood. Ask the Lord, don't ask me. Get him to reveal that to you. Father, in only the way that you can speak to into each one of our souls, our hearts, our minds, may we hear the truth. A truth that sometimes is hard to hear. Maybe today you're sitting here going, man, I don't know about the servanthood thing because my heart's not changed that much. Maybe you need to ask the Lord to change your heart. Have you ever tried to change your head as in a sense of just changing behaviors? It doesn't work so well, does it? You need a heart change. Lord, change our hearts. May you find the heart of your Son in us, one that does not seek out our own good, but that we have been saved to serve. So real quick, ask the Lord, Lord, who do you want me to serve this week? And how do you want me to serve them? Just let him answer for a second. Thank you, Lord, for speaking into us. May you also speak through us. And may we live out your love of giving ourselves, our blood, our time, our money, our friendship, our work, our play, because our hearts have been changed by you. It's in Jesus' name we all pray. Amen. About 4 years ago, a chief in the same village that gave me this lovely shiny purplish shirt that I won't wear next Sunday, by the way. But I might have it framed. gave me this stick, and they call it a leader stick. And the Maasai leaders carry it around like this. And I asked them one time what the stick did. I mean, like, is it up? You know, like I'm trying to get your attention. He said, oh no, not at all. And I mean, they're kind of a, you know, fighting tribe, so to speak. So, and they're very, very primitive. So I was asking him what it was for. And he said, no, when we have family or we have community meetings, we bring this and we share the stick so everybody can be heard. Who has the sticks talking? And I really thought it was really interesting because as I've watched these men over the last couple of years connect with their families and their communities, they are always the first in line to greet someone. They're always the first in line to make sure everybody's taken care of. They're always the first in line to make sure if there's food to be shared, everybody gets some. I've watched these men. And I've asked the Lord to change me to be more like them. Not because of what they have, don't have, but because of what they've got. And that's a sense of community that I pray for us all the time with. This sits on my desk as a reminder. I hope and pray that as we go through this week and this month and this new school year, as we engage our family and friends and our neighbors and our fellow students this week, that we ask the Lord, how can we serve? What ways can we really make a difference in our community? So I pray for that for us. Obviously, there's a blood bus out here if you want to serve your community in that way. If you can't make it out today, would you try to make a point, if you can give blood, to do that soon? I don't care about you giving them our name or whatever. I don't care about that. But I do care about taking care of folks like Rex talked about. When there's a need and a shortage, it's our job in the community to help meet that. There's a lot of shortages and needs. Be aware of those. And as you form up into community groups some, and I think Rex did a great job of this too, community groups, if you've never been a part of one, is the absolute best place to know how to serve one another, be sensitive to take notice of each other's needs. I know what some of you are saying, I'm too busy. Wednesday nights, Sunday, we have some on Sunday nights too. Man, those are important, blah, 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 blah. There's stuff to do. There's always stuff to do. There's always going to be stuff to do. This is a great way to serve one another and as a group figure out how to serve the community around us, okay? So I want to encourage you to do that. We'll announce some of those groups even more over the next couple of weeks. Encourage you to do that. And as you go your separate ways today, I pray that you'll find ways to not just serve one another, but to go out of your way to take notice of some needs around you. God bless you. You're dismissed. See you next Sunday.